Sometimes when I'm starting to write a sermon, I like to think about which character in the scripture readings I most relate to. It's a quick way for me to test out where I'm being pulled and how the text might speak to us today. And although it risks being a self-aggrandizing exercise with our friend Jesus popping up in the gospel everywhere, I was horrified in my preparation of the sermon today to immediately think of a story where I acted as the devil. It was truly a devious moment in my life. I was probably 8 years old and I shared a bedroom with my little sister, Morgan. We had these twin beds side by side with matching sheets, a shared basket of toys between them, and a shared closet. We shared pretty much everything, which was great, but that meant we were really possessive of the things that were just ours. And one of the things that I was really possessive of was my diary. Looking back on it, I have no idea what secrets I had to keep, but I know I was very careful to hide my diary away after writing in it. So when I found it missing from its usual place, I figured Morgan's curiosity had finally gotten the best of her, and she had taken it to read. Knowing she wouldn't admit to it if I accused her, though, I set up a trap. I took a folder and I wrote on it in giant letters, "Top secret, no one read, especially Morgan." And on the inside of the folder, I put the sheet of paper in it that said something along the lines of, "I'm mad at Morgan for looking through my stuff. She doesn't respect my privacy. What a bad sister." Then I ever so carefully placed this folder on my bed, directly facing hers. I know. I told you, I'm the devil figure in the story. So she wasn't able to withstand the temptation to look at the folder, but then she was really frustrated and upset because there was no way she could tell on me for being mean without implicating herself for doing something wrong. The overwhelming theme in our scripture reading this morning is that of temptation. Adam of Eve in the Garden of Eden, Jesus in the wilderness. Our modern conception and narratives of Lent also center around temptation. People give up sugar or chocolate or alcohol for the Lenten season, resisting these temptations for 40 days as a way to honor the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. When thinking about temptation in this way, there is an idea of restraint, self-denial, and willpower present. We work hard to not cave into our desires and may even rearrange our lives in order to avoid the feeling of temptation. I'll really embarrass my mom for a second here to illustrate this. She was driving home from her birthday party one year and she had the leftover birthday cake sitting in the passenger seat. And even though she had just left dinner, she found herself wanting to reach over and eat some of the cake. And so she drove for a couple minutes more, but the temptation got to be so strong that she just rolled down her window, took the plate of cake, and dumped the entire thing out on West Paces Ferry. My mom didn't trust in her ability to keep herself from temptation, so she just got rid of the problem entirely. But not all of our temptations can be dumped out onto West Paces Ferry and forgotten about. And furthermore, I'd like to argue that maybe it's God's will to lead us into conflict with temptation. If we look closely at our opening lines of our gospel reading for today, we can see that it was actually the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. So God intentionally placed Jesus in the wilderness to face temptation. Why would he do this? On the one hand, we know how this story ends before it even starts. This is Jesus we're talking about. He is God incarnate. It's not like there can be any spoilers to a book that's hundreds of years old, but we pretty much know how this story ends. Just as we know Jesus will overcome death on the cross, we already know Jesus will be able to withstand the temptations of the devil. But it's important for Matthew to tell us this story because Jesus was fully human as well. We like to think of him as this infallible, perfect deity, but when the Spirit led him into the wilderness, there was no guarantee that he would be able to withstand the devil. We know from Genesis today and the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that we as humans have always been very susceptible to temptation. And Jesus was no exception to that. He is tempted with bread for his hunger. He is tempted to show his power over death to save himself from danger. And he is tempted with the power of every kingdom in the world. He has the freedom to succumb to any of these temptations. But even in his humanity, Jesus rejects these, reaffirming his belief in and commitment to God, and providing us with a way to understand what's to come. God sends Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted so that we might have an example of how we ought to respond to temptation. Jesus shows us a type of sacrificial love that we are called to live out ourselves. The temptations we face in our own lives today look a lot different than what Jesus faced. It's hard to properly imagine being offered food for the first time after a 40-day fast, or safety at the moment of death, or all the land and power in the world. The temptations that we face are far more amorphous. They permeate every aspect of our lives and are difficult to grapple with because they lack the face and the name of the devil. The temptations we face do not come in the form of evil incarnate, but I also don't think they come in the form of birthday cake. Rather, the true temptations we face come to us in the form of power and pride, vanity and selfishness, apathy and indifference. These temptations tell us we are not good enough, and they push us to compare ourselves with our neighbors. They rule over us and convince us that we need more wealth or more followers. They bring us closer to our own needs and interests and persuade us that we do not need to take care of those we don't know or understand. They allow us to live our lives in blissful ignorance of those affected by poverty, hunger, and disease. They trick us into thinking that the choices we have made have led us to where we are, and the choices that others have made have led them to where they are. These faceless moments of temptation often seem small and unimportant in isolation. Ignoring a racist joke made by a colleague here, averting our eyes at someone experiencing homelessness there. But these small moments creep into our psyche and can lurk in the recesses of our hearts, bringing us further and further from the kind of sacrificial love for all that Jesus modeled for us. In Lent, we commit ourselves to engaging in a season of penitence to come face to face with the evil that still hides itself in our world. It is not a season of self-denial or guilt, but rather, it is an opportunity to come closer to God by seeking out what there is in our lives that we can give up in order to get closer to Him. We are called to be more intentional about our attitudes, our words, and our lifestyles so that our actions may reflect Jesus' sacrificial love for God, which most often shows itself through His care for the poor and the marginalized. I know this is heavy stuff to talk about. It's difficult to acknowledge our own shortcomings, especially when there doesn't seem to be a clear path to address them. But the will of God is shown to us through the Bible. God is relying on us to care for our neighbors in need in order to further His kingdom. And here's the good news. Are y'all ready for some good news? Just by participating in Lent, you are proclaiming your love of God and your faithfulness in Him. Just by being here this Sunday, you are declaring that you are willing to go into the wilderness to bring yourself closer to him. By adopting a Lenten practice, you are making an active choice to give a part of yourself up in the name of love for God and for others. The Lenten devotional Kenya and the Outreach Committee have created for us this season is designed to help us do exactly that. Through giving our time and resources to organizations like Habitat for Humanity and Church of the Common Ground, we can actively engage in helping our neighbors in need. But no matter what practice you decide to adopt this Lenten season, whether that's giving something up to make more room for God or taking on work with one of these amazing ministries, I invite you to remember that we are not defined by our temptations. In Matthew 3:17, just before the beginning of our gospel reading today, God says, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." So even before Jesus enters into the wilderness, before he says no to the temptations of the devil and reaffirms his commitment to God, he is already loved. God's love is given freely and abundantly to all. And it is my prayer that the knowledge of this love may give you strength for whatever you walk through this Lenten season. Beloved is where you begin, and beloved is how you shall return. Amen.